today's shiur is being sponsored by Refuah Shleima for Meir Gavriel Ben Chaika. You should have Refuah Shleima Bekarev. A lot of different halachas in Parshas Emor. The beginning of Parshas Emor is a Parshas Ben Kehanim, Emor ala Kehanim Ben Aaron. And it's the Isser for Kehanim to become Tamei Meis. Isser for Kehanim to be Metamei Lemeis. A Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to be Metamei to any Meis except for his close relatives. A Kohen Gadol can't be Metamei, can't expose himself to can't touch any Meis including his relatives. While the Psukim are talking about this, it's to be Metamei Lemeis, Pasuk Hey, in the beginning of Parshas Emor, has three other halachas bunched together into one Pasuk. La'yikrchu karcha b'roisham, they shouldn't rip out here on their heads out of agony, out of avelus for a mace. Upa'azakonim la'yigalechu, and they shouldn't shave their beards, they shouldn't use a razor, the iser to use a razor on your beard. Ubevsaram la yisur tu saratas, and on their flesh they shouldn't slash, they shouldn't make cuts on their flesh. That's also out of agony or avelus from a mace. So two questions. First of all, how does this follow from the first few psukim? The first few psukim are that a kohen is not allowed to be metame to a mace, and it can't just be because la yikruchu karcha bereishim is out of avelus for a mace, because there are many halachas of a mace. But the Torah chose this halacha of la'yikrchu karcha b'roshim to follow specifically the iser of kehanim to touch a mace. And this is specifically shver because the iser for a person to do damage to his body out of avelus, out of mourning, is true for Yisrael also. It's not just true for kehanim. The Gemara darshes from other psukim, it's true for Yisrael also. So it's interesting that in a parasha that's talking specifically about kehanim, and the kehanim can't touch a dead body, at that same time we bring in that kohanim shouldn't do damage to their bodies, which is true for Yisrael also, and also that he shouldn't shave his beard, which has nothing to do with the mace. That's true any day of the year. You're not allowed to use a razor on those points that Chazal specified on the face. So that's one problem. And the second problem is within the reading of the Pasuk. The Pasuk seems out of order. La'yikrchu karcha b'roisha means you shouldn't make yourself bald, you shouldn't pull out here. That's out of mourning. Upa'azakonim la'yigalechu, that's always. Always, you're never allowed to use a razor. Ubivsarim la'yisr tisratis is back talking about a mace again. It says it's not organized, the Pasuk. You should have first the Pasukim about mace. La'yikrchu karcha b'roisha. And then go on to something that has nothing to do with mourning or avelus. Here the klal is, and this is something that anybody who's learned a little bit about the difference between ruchnius and gashmius understands, that ruchnius, something that's spiritual, lasts forever, is lanetzach. It can exist forever. But anything that's gashmius, anything that's physical, eventually at some point will be destroyed. Something physical cannot live forever. Even inanimate objects like rocks and things like that, eventually they wear down, they change forms. Nothing in a physical world lasts forever. For sure, things that have life in them, trees and grass and animals, nothing lasts forever. With that in mind, it's very, very incredible to understand that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Ofram and Adama, he took earth from the ground and he formed it into the human body, and he blew a neshama inside it, the way it would have been if Adam hadn't done his chait, is that Adam would have lived forever. And that's an amazing thing. Sometimes we read the puzzle, we don't realize how incredible that is. Adam is made out of a physical body, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a neshama into that body, that blowing a neshama in, that the kedusha of that neshama was so strong that it transformed the human body, that it's now able to do something that nothing physical in the world can do. It can live forever. Adam was supposed to live forever. What does that mean? That means that when the neshama entered the body, it's not just that the body is like a suitcase and the neshama is inside. It was mekadosh, the whole body of the person became kadosh, had kedusha. Just like when a sofer writes a sefer Torah, so he takes klaf, which is the hides of an animal, and when he starts writing the halakha words of a sefer Torah on it, it's not just holy words on a piece of animal. The klaf itself has kedusha. The klaf itself now is a holy thing. The sefer Torah, the klaf itself of a sefer Torah, even without the words on it, has kedusha. The same thing happened with the human body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a human body. When he put a part of himself, chelek elokam imal, when he put his neshama inside the person, it became the klaf of a sefer Torah. The whole person became so kadosh that he can last forever. That was until he did his avera. When Adam did his chet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, afar ata, you are dirt. You were created from afar. V'el afar tashav, and you will return to dirt. Now probably Adam knew that he was afar. Probably Adam knew when he was created. He probably knew that he was created Ofram and Ha'adama. He probably understood what he was composed of. And still, the Psukim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you are Ofer, which is something that he probably knew, and you will return to Ofer. So the Mefarshim explained that what this means is that he was saying, no longer does Yiguf have that same Kedusha that it used to have. It used to be that the Ofer was transformed into something else. It was transformed into something holy. That's not true anymore. Now that you did your chay, offer ata. Now you're more physical. Chumrius, you're more physical. Your body now has more physical attributes. And what's the rule about something physical? It doesn't last forever. So the alafar tashuv, eventually you're going to die. That's the seder of the pasuk. Offer ata, the alafar tashuv. This is why there's such a thing called tumas mace. This that if someone touches a mace, he becomes tummy. Is because the klal, the rule is that tumah always exists when there is a potential for kedusha, a potential for greatness that's not there. And since an Adam, when Hashem blew the neshama in there, it affected the Adam so profoundly that it transformed his guf into something that can live on for eternity. And now because of his chait, this body can no longer live on for eternity. So when a person dies, that time of death, is a tremendous chisaron. It's a tremendous loss of potential, tremendous loss of greatness that the Adam used to have. This body used to be a different entity. It used to be able to survive forever, and now it's not able to survive forever anymore. That's where tumas meis comes from. But there's an exception to this rule. This chisaron that happened to Adam, this tragedy that happened to him, that now his guf dies, is true for all human beings except for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, even though we do have Misa, and we have Tumas Meis, we have the impurity of Misa, but we also have Tchiyas HaMeisim. We also have a Emunah, we have Maminim, Ne'amon Ata L'Hachay Yais Meisim, we say in Shemoneh Esrei, we believe that the dead will come back to life. And it's not a new guf that's going to happen then. The Sfarim teach us that there's always, no matter how much a body decomposes, there's always a part of the guf that's left. It's always something left, it doesn't get destroyed completely. The guf of a person never gets destroyed. The guf of a yid never gets destroyed completely. There's always something there. And from that little bit that's left is rebuilt, you know, la'asid lavei, is rebuilt the guf with the neshama in it, and it will taka live forever. So that means that within the guf of a yid is an interesting thing. On the one hand, we do have misa because of the chait of Adam, and therefore we have tumas misa because of the loss of that potential. Our neshama leaves us. But on the other hand, we have that potential that even when there is Misa, it's just a temporary thing. It's a long sleep. It's not really Misa, because eventually there's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim, and Adam will live forever. And that's the first step, that is we have Tchiyas HaMeisim. Ultimately, Yidden are going to return completely to the Madrega that Adam was before the Chait, and that's what we say, Ubilo Amaves LaNetzach, that they won't be Misa anymore. Klal Yisrael won't have Misa anymore. So the quality of the guf of a yid is a little bit closer, is a little bit more similar to the quality of Adam's guf when Hashem blew that neshama into him. When a yid is born, something is being born now that's going to last forever, which means that it has that spiritual quality. It doesn't fall under the laws of physics that everything physical gets destroyed. Every single Jew that's born, it's true that we have Misa, but on the other hand, the fact that we have the Tchiyas HaMeisim shows us that we have something, some part of us, that has that everlasting Nitzchiyistika teva, which is something that's spiritual, not physical. The Beis HaMikdash is a place that the whole avodah of the Beis HaMikdash is the kedusha of the body. What does that mean? It's not something that we usually associate with the Beis HaMikdash. That means like this. It's something that's worth defining. We just spent the last few weeks by Yikra, Tzav, Shmini, talking about Karbanos. Karbanos, if you think about it objectively, sounds like an odd thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want, that we should take a cow and slaughter it for him. What's the message in that? What does that mean? What's the purpose of a karban? So the Sfarim explained, the Rishonim, the Ramban brings in Vayikra, that a person is made up of a neshama and a guf, a body and a soul. The idea of a karban is that the animal represents the animal part of us, the behema part of us. And when we put an animal on the Mizbeach, it's like we're taking our physical part of us and we're showing our desire to bring even the physical part of ourselves close to Hashem. That's the kedusha of the guf. The ability of a yid that his guf could go on the mizbeach. We use the animal as a mashal for that. That his guf could be part of avodas Hashem. That's the kedusha of the guf of a yid. It's merumas in the pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra. It says Adam ki yakrav mikem, a person who's the way we understand it. Bepashtos means a person who sacrifices from his own possessions. Notice he takes an animal that's in his possession. But the literal translation is that a person who sacrifices from you, from himself. That the idea of a karban is to show that he's sacrificing from himself. He's bringing part of himself, the physical part of himself, close to Hashem. You see this parallel, another remez to this parallel, is that in Parsha Shmini is divided between Be'ikr, between two inyanim. The first inyan is the Mishkan, the Binyan HaMishkan. That's where they brought karbanis. And the second is the human body, is what we are and what we're not allowed to eat. So again, we see that parallel between the avodah that's done in the Beis HaMikdash, which is bringing up the physical. Karbanis on the Mizbeach is bringing up the physical, and the Kedusha of a Yid, that we have to watch what we eat, we have to watch how we treat our body. That's the whole Parsha Shmini. So there used to be a minig, it says that the Rishonim bring, it used to be a minig of Goyim, that when someone died, they would rip out here. And they would slash their bodies. What's the purpose of that? What were they trying to do? What was the message in that slashing, in that ripping? What was the message? The message was that because I'm so upset that a body has been destroyed, I'm going to cause destruction on my own body. That's the message there. That out of my tremendous agony and pain about the destruction of a human body, about a Misa, I'm going to cause destruction to my own body. But that's not appropriate for a Yid. For a Yid, there is no destruction of a human body. It's a temporary thing. It's like going to sleep. It's a temporary thing. And therefore, it's not appropriate. We do things of avelus, of mourning, but nothing that's permanent destruction to the body. Nothing. We use ashes. We rip kri on begadim. We sit shiva. We do things of mourning, but nothing as permanent and nothing as destructive to the body as ripping out here or slashing the body. Those things are things that are only appropriate if you look at Misa as a permanent destruction of the body. If you look at Misa, permanent destruction of the body, so then the way to react to that pain is to cause destruction to one's own body. But if you look at Misa as a temporary break that the neshama leaves temporarily, so then we do a much lighter form of avelus. I was thinking that that's the pshat that it says in Parshas Chayisara that when Avram was being Misaba, when he was mourning his wife, so it says that he was maspid her, he eulogized her, and v'livkaisa, and he cried over her. So the Baal HaTurim says that the word livkaisa, the chaf, is small. There's a small chaf in livkaisa. And he says because he didn't cry so much. He didn't cry that much. And they give different pirushim. Why didn't Avram cry so much? Sarah was his wife of many, many years. They went through many Asar and Asyainis together. Why didn't he cry so much? But according to what we're saying, the reason he didn't cry is because Sarah was the first Yid to die. The first one was Shaykh to Tchias HaMesim. The whole Avelus is different now. It used to be Avelus is a person is gone when he dies. But Avram recognized that Sarah's not gone. It's a temporary thing. She's leaving temporarily, so the crying is a little bit less. So that's the pshat, that there's a din in the Torah that we don't do damage to ourselves when there's a mace. Similarly, the iser of a person to use a razor on his face, to shave with a razor. So the Sfarim teach us that the difference between using a razor, let's say, and a shaver or a scissors, what's the difference? The Gemara says that a scissors is mutter. What's the difference? The difference is, are you completely pulling out the hair, or are you just cutting it off? Are you leaving the roots, or you've just completely, as the whole issue nowadays with the paiskim, lift and cut, and all the different types of shavers, is it pulling out from the roots, is it pulling out the hair completely, or is it leaving a little bit? And we have a klal, many of the mitzvah peah on a field is like that also. We don't like to do something to our field, to our body, that's permanent destruction. Because we want to teach ourselves, and the message of the mitzvah is that there's no such a thing as permanent destruction in the body of a yid. So even if we shave, even if we cut our beard, we use kalim that don't completely destroy the hair. They leave the roots, they leave a little bit. Because we don't do permanent destruction to a human body. Because a human body is never permanently destroyed. So now it's beautiful, the beginning, the first few psukim and Parshas Emor are fantastic. You have a parasha of Parshas Emor that Kehanim can't touch a mace. Why can't Kehanim touch a mace? Because they're two opposite concepts. The concept of working in the Beis HaMikdash and bringing karbonis is a concept of the spirituality of the guf. The capacity of spirituality that the guf has. Bringing a guf onto the Mizbeach. Bringing a karbon onto the Mizbeach is raising up the physical. The concept of Misa is exactly the opposite concept, we said. The concept of Misa is the limitation of the guf. It's no longer able to live forever. It no longer was affected by the neshama so much that it could live on forever. It's an opposite concept. So Kehanim, whose job is to bring karbanis, can't touch a mace. It's not appropriate for them to involve themselves with that chisaron of the human body. Because the whole avodah of Kehanim is the spirituality of the human body. And that's the hemshech of the parasha. It's beautiful. The first few psukim in the parasha talk about the kehanim can't touch a mace. A kohen gadol can't even touch any mace because he's like the head of the kehanim. And then we go on. La'ikrichu karcha b'raisham is that we don't damage our bodies from the tzar of a mace. Also, it's the same idea because there's no permanent destruction of the human body. The human body, the body of a yid does not get permanently destroyed. It was affected enough by its neshama, but it doesn't get permanently destroyed. And the same pasuk also that we don't shave our beards. We don't shave with a razor also because there's no permanent destruction of the human body. So now it's unbelievable, the seder of the pasuk. If you would ask somebody, what is the most pashut part of the body that has kedusha? So I would say the head. The head is where the person thinks. That's what's unique about a person. That's the difference between a person and an animal. The head has a neshama in it. The neshama is associated with the seichel. What's the second most pashut thing that has kedusha? I would say the face. The face for sure has kedusha. Chachmas Adam Ta'ir Panav, the pasuk says, the spirituality of a person and the intelligence of a person shines out from his face. The human face is expressive, expresses his seichel, his feelings. But the body, from the neck down, that I wouldn't think has kedusha. That I would think that's the behema part of us. So the pasuk goes in levels. It's true that it goes from Misa to not Misa, back to Misa, like we asked before, but it goes in levels. Lo yikruchu karcha v'roisham. Don't rip out the hairs of your head. The head, the place where the neshama is, has kedusha. Upa'azakanam lo yigalechu. And also don't cause destruction to your beard. The face also has kedusha. You might think the rest of the body doesn't have kedusha. The greatest chiddush of all, ubivsaron lo yisratu saratas. Even on the rest of the body, you shouldn't cause damage. It's saying it's one chiddush on top of the next. Not only does the head have kedusha, not only does the face have kedusha, and not only that, but even the flesh of a person has kedusha. Not only that, but according to this, it's unbelievable. The first Rashi in the parasha, it says emor el kohanim bnei Aaron v'amarta aleihem. It's two lashonos of saying. Say to the kohanim, and you should say to them. That's repetitive. So they say, the Rashi says, it's lahazir gedolim alaktanim. It's saying that the Aaron and Moshe are talking to the older people, telling the older people, the people who are responsible for mitzvahs, people over 13, he's telling them the mitzvahs that they have to do. But he's also saying v'amarta, that they should be mazir, they should teach children also to follow these halachas. And that's a chiyuv of chinuch, that we have to keep children away from Yisurim, not to feed treif to a child, not to let a child be metameh himself if he's a kayin. We have the job of the mature people is to teach children the halachas of the Torah. Why is that here in this parasha? Because it's also a chiddush. I might think that when does the body have kedusha? That's after it has das, after it has intelligence, after it has seichel. That's when the body has kedusha. But a child doesn't have intelligence. It's just like an animal. What's the difference? An animal doesn't have any seichel and it's a body. A child also doesn't have seichel and it's a body. No, the neshama of a yid shines out even from a child who doesn't have any das. Emor v'yomarta lahazir gedaylam al ha'ketanim, that the gedaylam have to teach the ketanim that even you, the little katan who has no das and doesn't learn Torah and doesn't do mitzvahs, your body inherently has so much kedusha, has so much holiness, that you have to keep away from tumah. And the truth is that this theme goes through the whole parashas Emor. And I'm just going to show the next few psukim, and maybe another time we'll be able to go through the rest of the parasha. But the next few psukim after this parasha are a different halacha, and that is the kaiharim that do the avoda can't have movement. They can't have wounds, certain types of wounds and cuts that a human might have. They're not allowed to have. A kayan who's wounded in certain ways that the psukim describe is not allowed to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. If you look in the Kli Yakar on Parshas Emor, on those psukim of Mum, he says that it used to be that the kedusha of the body of a yid was so strong in the times of the Midbar that people weren't born disfigured or deformed. People didn't get wounds arbitrarily. If someone did an aver with his hand, if someone picked up his hand to hit someone, his body would get injured. His hand would get injured. If someone with his feet ran to do an avera, he would get wounded in his feet. If someone did an iser with his ears, if he listened to Lashon Hara, his ears would get injured. The mumin that a person has, he said, were reflections of the matzav of his neshama. That's how much the neshama affected the guf. That's an appropriate hemshech of this parsha. The whole parsha of Emor al HaKohen b'nei Aaron, of the tumah, and of cutting the skin and of shaving, is all to show the inherent holiness of the human body. So we follow with a parsha that says that if you have a mum, it's a simen. Your neshama and your body, your soul and your body are so interconnected that if there's a chisaron from your neshama, it's going to manifest itself in your body. That's the next parsha. You could see this in the Ramban. There's a famous Ramban over here in the beginning that says, Hashem tells Moshe like this. He says, tell Aaron that if any of his children have a mum, he shouldn't do the avoda. So everyone asks, what about himself? Why does it tell Aaron that if he or any of his children have a mum, he shouldn't do the avoda? Why does it skip Aaron? What if Aaron has a mum? He also can't do the avodah. Kain Gadol's not allowed to do the avodah with a mum. So the Ramban says, "V'lo yirtza lahazir es Aaron atzmai b'tayres ha-mumen." He doesn't want to warn Aaron himself about mumen. Ki Aaron kedosh Hashem, because Aaron is so kadosh. He's so kadosh to Hashem. Kula yafa. He's completely beautiful. Umum lo yiyavoy, and he can't be that he'll have a mum. That's mamish. This concept. His neshama is so high, and it affects his body so profoundly that it's not possible that the body of Aaron should have a mum in it. I think that this is a tremendous contrast to the society that we live in. Tremendous, tremendous contrast. This idea that the guf that we have is a mishkan. It's a Beis HaMikdash, it's a shul that carries a shechina inside of it. Or it's like the klaf of a Sefer Torah that carries the oasis of the Torah in it. We live in a world of tattoos, we live in a world of ripped clothing, we live in a world of trying to look as tattered and that it's cool and it's stylish to be mavaza the guf, of tongue rings and of all kinds of other obscene busyness to the body. That's the world. That's the society that we live in, and we know that we don't do those things. It's not one of the things that we struggle with. We know that we don't do those things, but it's important to realize it's not that we don't do those things because it's gross. We don't do those things because it's not nice. We don't do those things because we recognize that our body is not just something that we use to enjoy ourselves. Our body is the klaf of a Sefer Torah. Our body is like a keli in the Beis HaMikdash that the kohen would pour the dam of a carbon in and bring it to the Mizbeach. That's our body. Our body is a kli shoreis for the service of Hashem. I was thinking on Shabbos, putting a tattoo on a human body is equivalent to graffiti in the inside of a Beis HaMikdash. Imagine graffiti on the walls of a Beis HaMikdash. People say it's horrible. They say, what's wrong? I'm using my artistic abilities on the walls of a Beis Medrash. It's hard. It's a bizayon for a makim of the Shechina. The human body is a makim of the Shechina. It's a place of it's a place of a neshama. It's a place where a neshama lives, and it affects us permanently. We have tchias ha-meisim because of that. It permanently affects us. That's the greatness of the human body. I was always amazed. I saw this a little while ago. One of the nice things about living out of town is that we become exposed to mitzvahs that if we would have stayed in New York, we'd have never been exposed to. And there's a number of people in the community who are on the Chevra Kadisha in Waterbury. And Rabbi Schlingenbaum, who's in charge of the Chevra Kadisha in Connecticut, wrote a kuntres that some these members of the Chevra Kadisha have. He wrote a kuntres, and in this kuntres he describes how they clean and take care of a body after a patira. And it's a very, very interesting thing to look at. I think it's almost like a musa say for a little bit. Because as difficult it is for some of us to swallow the idea of doing a tahara, but seeing the amazing, amazing effects that the neshama has on the guf, that even after the neshama is not there anymore, we treat it with such sanctity. We mamash treat it like a sefer Torah. We treat the human body, the body of a yid, after its patira, with such reverence that it's just an incredible thing. Somebody told me, I don't know if I didn't investigate to know for sure if it's true, but somebody told me that by Goyim it's a completely different attitude. After somebody dies, he's a piece of meat. They dress them up to look nice for the wake, but it's a piece of meat. He's dead. That reverence that we have, that's a hakara, that this is a mishkan for the Shechina. That a neshama resided in here, and a neshama will reside in here again. Just want to read a few lines out of this kuntres. He starts off here. Just warning the people involved with the mace. Throughout our involvement with the mace, our primary concern is kavod ha-mace. Everything we do must be in a dignified and respectful manner. Anyone who does a tahara frequently, as well as anyone who's professionally familiar with the human body, should make an extra effort to maintain a level of sensitivity that is appropriate to a tahara. Then he goes on over here. We do not speak, is an amazing thing, we do not speak in the presence of the mace about anything not pertaining to the tahara. Incredible thing. It's a dead body. We have such reverence, such kedusha, such awareness of the fact that there's a sefer Torah in front of us, that those who are in the room do not talk about any other thing. You can imagine that people will just get used to doing a tahara, they'll be talking about things while they're doing it. No, it's quiet. Unless it's negated to that, it's completely quiet. Like someone's being goyel to sefer Torah. You don't talk about what you're doing on Matzah Shabbos, you know, where you're going for the summer, while you have an open sefer Torah in front of you. We do not stand or walk behind the head of a mace. It's a mace like a Rosh Hashiva, you know, you don't try not to walk behind him. You know, we don't walk behind the head of a mace. It's a makim for the Shechina. We do not pass anything over the mace. It's mamish incredible. It's mind-boggling. How much reverence we have for a human body. A little bit further on, when he's talking about washing the mace. So he has the whole description, exactly how we wash the mace. But just his hakadama, it's just beautiful, the hakadama. The mace should be washed thoroughly with care and diligence, as one would wash before an appearance before a king. We're getting the mace ready for his Yom HaDin. We're getting them. This is the reverence, the incredible reverence that we have for an iftar. As they carry the Aron out of the room, and this many people, when you're by a Levi, you see this also, they read about the traveling of the Mishkan, or the traveling of the Aron. People say, as the Aron is moving, by Hibin Sayah Ha'Aron. When the Aron traveled, they would say, whatever they would say when the Aron traveled in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Midbar. We say, you know, we've been to Levi's, and we've seen the Vayhibin Sayah Ha'Aron. We don't realize, the Aron that we're talking about has the Torah in it. We're saying, while we're taking a dead human body, and we're taking it out of the place of the Tahara, or out of the place where they did the Hespedim, we're discussing the traveling of the Aron. It's not a coincidence, it has the word Aron, so we use take a pasuk that has the word Aron. Don't operate that way. When we're moving the guf of a human being, we discuss moving the Sefer Torah. That's the psukim that we say, Vahibin Sayah Aron. And this is someone who's not alive. This is the neshama is temporarily not there. still the awe that we treat the body of a mace. It says in the Gemara that Talmud Chacham that has a stain on his beged is chayiv misa. It seems like a very strong statement. A Talmud Chacham that has a stain on his beged, a Talmud Chacham that has a stain on his clothing, he's chayiv misa. I hear that's not such a nice thing. It's a very strong thing to say that he's chayiv misa. The Shlah writes like this. The Shlah writes, klal ha'inyan, and he's talking about the Talmud Chacham walking around in clean clothing, hamalbushem levush haguf, clothing clothe the body, the haguf levush hanefesh, and the body clothes the neshama. Ubetaharas hamalbushim, by keeping clothing clean and neat, ye'oyer taharas haguf. It has that effect on a person to keep his guf clean and neat and tahar also. When I saw this shla, I realized what the pshat is chayiv misa. What are we talking about over here the whole time? Emor al hakayin b'nei Aaron. Misa is the exact opposite of this concept. Misa is that my body is not spiritual. It's the lack of spirituality of the body. That's misa. Right? After Adam did the chait, afar ata, you're physical, the el afar tashuv. A Talmud Chacham that doesn't respect his body, chayav misa. You don't respect the eternity of the guf and the spirituality of the guf, chayav misa. My Rosh Hashiva once pointed out to us a couple of years ago, when a person wakes up in the morning and he washes negovas, he washes his hands in the morning. So this is halacha, you're supposed to wash your hands. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't stop there. When the Shulchan Aruch says to wash your hands, the Shulchan Aruch tells you exactly what to do. Pick up the cup in your right hand, put it into your left hand, fill the cup, pour it onto your right hand. Then put it back into your right hand and fill it up and put it on your left hand. A whole seder. He said, if you think about it, it's as if it's some kind of ceremonial washing the hands of a king. Wash your hands. You know, a doctor has to wash his hands before he does surgery. You wash your hands, make sure it's clean. You have to wash... the way that a yid takes care of his body is a certain royalty. There's a seder. You have to do it a certain way. You're washing your hands, you're washing your body, you're washing Hashem's klisharis. You're washing Hashem's vessel. You have to pick it up in a certain order and do it in a certain way. And the truth is that the whole beginning of Aruch Chaim that talks about how to get dressed and to put on the right side first, and how to tie your shoes. What is all that? I'm getting dressed. I'm going to get my clothing on. The whole Seder is because my body is a very, 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 very heiliger thing. It's a mishkan. Just like if you would understand that there's halachas of how to treat the inside of a shul, how to treat the cloth of a Sefer Torah, there are halachas how to treat the human body. I heard a story that happened recently. My wife's uncle is a Rav, and he told us that he heard a story about somebody that was in a day school out of town, and his family wasn't from. And the Rebbe was teaching, and the Rebbe asked his Rosh Hashiva what types of things he should teach. And the Rosh Hashiva told him that he should teach not just like, you know, sometimes today, you know, when you're teaching not from kids, you're just like trying to teach general Jewish ideas. There's such a thing called Shabbos, there's such a thing called Chanukah, there's such a thing called Purim. He said he should take a kitzur Shulchan Aruch and he should teach halachas. So the Rebbe taught them halachas. So you get dressed in the morning, you should put on the right side first, and then the left side. You put on the right shoe first, but you tie the left shoe. All the different halachas that it says. That's how he's teaching the kid. The Rebbe, I think, eventually got fired for it. The kid took a long time getting dressed in the morning. The parents got upset. The parent was a big supporter. You know, common story. Years and years and years later, this little, you know, second grader grew up. Completely not religious upbringing. You know, day school was his last exposure to Yiddishkeit. He went to college and he got married. He got engaged to a non-Jew. And on the day of his wedding, he got up in the morning, and like any good, you know, American guy, even on the day of his wedding, he went for his morning run. Got ready for his morning run. And he was putting on his shoes, and he realized he was putting on his right shoe first and tying his left sneaker. And he was like, stopped. He was like, why am I doing that? And he realized he just got into that habit from the time he was in second grade, when his Rebbe taught him, you put this one on and this one on. And he stopped and he was like frozen from the idea. He was like, I just do things like a Jew. I act like a Jew. It's like part of the blood that's pumping in my body is a Jew. As a whole story, he got back in touch with the Rebbe, and he postponed and eventually canceled his engagement. And he's a frum guy. The way I heard the story is that he's a frum guy sitting and learning in Kyle today. Amazing thing. The way we treat the body. you find before Shabbos is a special din of washing the body. Shulchan Aruch says to wash the hands and feet. People take a shower. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's a halacha Shulchan Aruch. Not just stam, something that we got in the habit of doing. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. A person should wash himself before Shabbos. Why? Because the body is the Mishkan for the Neshama. And on Shabbos, we have a Neshama Yisera. We have greater Neshama, higher Neshama. Higher Neshama, we have to take better care of our guf. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, in the Ber Heitiv, in Siman Daled, and in the Aruch HaShulchan. It says there's a Sgula Nifla, the Aruch HaShulchan calls it. And the Ber Heitiv says that if you do this Sgula Nifla, you'll find favor in people's eyes. If you want to be the kind of person that finds favor in people's eyes, you should do this Sgula. What's the Sgula? So it says there, I meant to bring it here, I don't have it in front of me, but it says there that when a person washes his hand, his right hand, he should say Yad HaChazaka. And when he washes his left hand, he should say Zroya Netuya. And when he washes his face, he should say Roshay Kesem Paz. His head is bright gold. And when a person washes his arms or something, or lifts up puts water in his hands to splash onto his face, he should say Yadav Galile Kesef. His arms are pillars of silver. And so on, all these different Mishalim Mishir Ashirim for the grandness of the human body. The problem is that the Pesukim Shir Hashem are not talking about the human body, they're talking about the Rabbani Shalom. Yod HaChazaka is Hashem has a Yod HaChazaka, has a strong hand. Hashem has an outstretched arm. On Hashem we say the Mashal of Rosh HaKes and Paz, Yod HaGalil, those are all about Hashem. And the words of the Ber Heitiv, the words of the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm sorry, is, V'yesh b'zeh sgula nifla, ki b'tzelem elekim asa esa adam. That means that there's a sgula for a person. You want to find favor in a person's eyes. Finding chen in a person's eyes is when your neshama is showing through. Every person has a unique neshama. Your neshama showing through, that's what finds chen in people's eyes. If when a person is washing himself in the morning, he washes himself realizing that he was created in the image of Hashem. Just like Hashem has a Yod HaChazaka, he has a right hand. Just like Hashem has a Zroya Netuya, he has a left hand. And so on and so forth, that type of reverence for the body, to clean the body, not just because he has to wash his face, but because he's cleaning a kli shoreis, that will create, that he'll find chen in people's eyes. It's incredible that I see over here, when I was looking at this kuntres last night, that they do the same thing when they wash the mace. Exactly the same thing. They, while washing the mace, the following is said, Roshay kesem poz, kehu tzaysef palpalim, einov kiyoinim, l'choyev karugas habayis, yodav galilei zov, all the different things that we say also when they're washing a mace. It's the same idea. Person wakes up in the morning and he cleans himself, or when we have a mace with that reverence that we take care of a mace, the same idea of the unbelievable kedusha that a person has, just that his guf has because of the neshama that's inside of it. So we talk about this again. We're not talking about something that somebody was contemplating that he should get himself a tattoo this week. That's not the discussion, but it's still true that when it comes to summertime, and we're the Goyim, for some reason the summertime is even a much better time for the Bizayon of the Guf, we could take pride and take chizuk from understanding, not just knowing that we're different, but understanding why we're different. We're different because we're royalty. We're different because our Guf is Kayim Lanetzach. We're different because of the aristocracy and the greatness of the Neshama that's inside of us. That's why we're different. And it's a starting in the morning, I don't know if you have to say it, maybe even just thinking it is probably a very special thing. To start the morning while we're washing our hands, to think that I'm washing the keli that Hashem gave me, I can't imagine that it can change a person's entire day.